Shalom Yehudim, shalom Lebnei Noach, shalom Goyim. It's the evening of the fourth day, Erev Lamed B'Nissan, Parashas Kedoshim, Tavshin Pei Dalas 5784. The evening of the third day, Tuesday, May 7, 2024, you're listening to Phantom Nation, a.k.a. the program coming to you from the target of world, and I do mean world, hostility, including the current government in Washington, led by a thoroughly corrupt evil man and a traitorous Jew worthy of the Christian concept of the Judas, Secretary of State Tiberius Julius Alexander Blinken. What comes to mind now is the talented American actor, comedic actor, Jason Alexander, the funniest guy I thought on the Seinfeld show, who was born Jay Greenspun. There's nothing more American Jewish than an entertainer who adopts a Gentile name. In this case, calling oneself Jason Alexander. This is the apotheosis of Hellenism. What could be more Greek than Jason Alexander? And what could be more treasonous to the Jewish people than a Jew like Antony Blinken demanding that Israel stop trying to exterminate the diabolical sex maniacs in Hamas and stop trying to rescue our fellow Jews and Gentile friends from their clutches? Every one of the Gentile nations on this planet that has expressed an opinion has told our post-religious prime minister of the legally, if not yet spiritually, Jewish state to cease fire. Said Biden, after the massive rocket attack by the Iranians, take the win. Don't enter Rafiah to finish off this malignant strain of humanity called the Muslim Brotherhood that the foolish Israelis call Hamas instead of the Muslim Brotherhood because the Israeli ruling class wants to become friends with the neighboring mostly Muslim nations, so one must never say anything negative about Islam. The famous Israeli scientist of politics, Dr. Balin, taught us, quote, let's not see this as a religious conflict. Let's call it a political conflict between two peoples with identical claims to the same real estate, and then we can compromise. So as prophesied today, that is in the past, about today, by the Gentile prophet Balaam, this is a people that dwells alone. Today we are alone, as our warriors have conquered the Kerem Shalom crossing, after a rocket attack by the Goyim there that killed four more of our brave and patriotic soldiers. In the operation, we did kill 20 of the barbarians, but so what? That rocket barrage that killed the four ended the farce of months of negotiations with Blinken's camp, spreading the manure that Israel played the U.S. when this is nothing but projection. Biden and Blinken, in order to please the Jew haters in the states, especially in the swing states with a Muslim population, they're reported to have shut down the supply chain of weapons and ammunition we need, which only exposes, and not for the first time, Ehud Barak's provincial stupidity in making this happen, in reducing the size of the IDF and shutting down the manufacture of munitions and weapons in Israel, relying on the U.S. to always duplicate what President Nixon did in 1973, come to Israel's rescue with massive infusions of all kinds of things we needed. The Prime Minister has said, if we have to, we will go it alone. This abandonment of Israel and its need to exterminate Hamas, it's a malignant tumor, Hamas, of antediluvian brutishness. After 6 months of, or now more, of more than 100 innocent human beings, mostly Jews, daily used as slaves, forced to cook and clean their toilets, denied even the right to speak, and at a moment, any moment, a master can rape either sex, torture either sex. This abandonment of us is another disgraceful episode in the history of mankind. The MSM here says the attack that killed the four IDF at Kerem Shalom blew up the negotiations, though yours truly has a different take on those negotiations, which I think are nothing but and ended itself for the sadistic Muslim Neanderthals in Gaza. I do not believe the purpose of the aggression on October 7 was to free fellow Hamas members in Israeli prisons. I think the purpose was what was done, period. The purpose was the ecstatic thrill of what they did on that day to all those thousands of Jews, rape, mutilation, torture, psychological sadism, all done gleefully. That eruption of evil that day was the purpose of the Quranic command to oppress and humiliate Jews. And every day since October 7, These people have enjoyed enslaving and raping and torturing Jews and fellow captives. But the nations of the world that Bibi yearns for a place among, taking the side of these monstrous humans who did what they did that day and have continued to do every day since to their captives. They demand these Muslims' submission. And what a coincidence, that's the name of their religion and their identity. They believe in submission to the belief that Muhammad was the last and greatest prophet who superseded all the previous Jewish ones. Muhammad is the final prophet, they say, and if you don't believe that, you are an infidel who must submit to the governance of believers in the one true faith. So I don't believe the goal of October 7 by the Muslim Brothers was to liberate fellow believers from Israeli prisons. I think the goal was that bacchanal of sadism. These Arab sadists, they just wanted to rape, mutilate, murder, and enslave Jews as the apotheosis of Islamic piety. It was an end in itself, and has been ever since. And as for ending the current slavery of the hostages, they just don't want to do that. And to think that the justification for what these Arab Muslims did that day and continue to do has been religious? In their malignant brains, a holy deed to not only murder but torture Jews, to think this is the pinnacle of a so-called religion? To think that is to leave one speechless. This is the Muslim Brotherhood, the social backbone of an Arab-Muslim community left to its own devices. This is what they come up with. Their leader in Gaza, Yahya Sinwar, single-handedly murdered four rivals. That is who these people are, living in this retarded Dark Age society, who I believe have never wanted a swap of captives for terrorists. What I think Sinwar wants is for the IDF to eventually understand there will be no trade. He wants the IDF to invade, go into Rafah all the way, and to even kill him, which will be just fine with him, because in the process the Jews will likely kill even millions of innocent Palestinians. And that doing that, they will be shown to the world not to be the chosen people, but just like the Nazis. That is the meaning of the mobsters chanting that Israel is committing genocide, just like the Nazis. That unique in history crime, in which the Jews were the victims, deserving of pity perhaps, but no more, because they're just like the Nazis. And the world will see this and understand that Islam is the correct religion. Sinwar wants Israel to kill thousands and thousands more innocent civilians. They are innocent in the minds of Obama, aren't they? Who is alleged to have been a one-time homosexual prostitute, likewise his stooge Biden, that unbelievably corrupt and perverted Biden, and his Jew boy bootlick, Antony. The Arabs are chronic dissemblers. That's what I feel about these negotiations, so-called. For many months now, the Saudis, likewise, who, by the way, are among the chorus of nations today opposed to Israel's military operation into Rafah, the Saudis, no less, are a society of two faces, one public, one hidden. Theirs is a culture of veils. Think of their religious symbol of the crescent moon. That's a lifeless object producing nothing, only capable of reflecting the energy of another source. One side of their lives is public, the other never seen. The Saudis play Bibi with the bait of commercial relations, but always attach the requirement of the two-state solution, that is the transfer of power and governance in Judea and Samaria, to believers in the one true faith whose capital will be Al-Quds. In short, these negotiations, fantasies of the Saudis and the Abraham Accords, it's all verbal taurine excreta. The presence of the Hamas leadership, their machinery and equipment in Gaza, must be destroyed, and the surviving captives liberated, and the whole world, the nations that secular Zionists want a place among, they oppose what Israel wants to do and has to do, and it's to their shame that they act this way, which in any case seems to be in the West, a culture in serious decay. In the UK last week, they just had local elections, and Nigel Farage said it is a new era of sectarianism, which I consider to be a euphemism. His survival instinct imposed this on him instead of speaking more truthfully. The results do not reflect sectarianism. They reflect the growing social malignancy called Islam. Muslims were elected to office in ever-increasing numbers. Islam is spreading all over the world, and most importantly, in the increasingly post-Christian societies. In Europe, in England, the churches on Sundays are now empty. The continent is being taken over by a horde of men in their millions whose political culture is their religious belief in their own right to rule over non-believers. It is a religious principle with them, but tragically, contemporary Europeans have no religion of their own to mount a defense. Last podcast, I noted how the Israeli cabinet voted unanimously, it was on Thursday, to eject from the country the Al Jazeera news operation. And I suspect this resulted from the realization, finally, that Qatar is no friend. It is a swamp of primitive Islamic nonsense, like others among the 56 officially Muslim states. And because the Qataris in this crisis have proven to be on the side of Hamas, Israel no longer has to tolerate the existence of this operation in the country. Al Jazeera in Arabic is just impossible. It's just Nazism. In English, it's more moderate, but still bad enough. I suspect the Rafah-Rafiah move today reflects the realization in the government that Hamas has never been interested in a deal. And I reason Sinwar even wants Israel to invade and kill thousands of the innocent Palestinians and be exposed as no different than the Nazis. And in being killed by the IDF, Sinwar and fellow lunatics that see holiness in a dead world, they'll be given a free ride to Muslim paradise where a believer gets to violently rape women for all eternity. October 7th was a taste of paradise. And to fortify my thinking, JPost Online today cited a most remarkable man, Musab Hassan Yusuf, the Green Prince, son of the founding head of the Hamas franchise in Judea and Samaria. He said the so-called ceasefire proposal that Hamas accepted over the weekend, that text was written between Qatar and Egypt that Israel had nothing to do with. Mr. Yusuf said it's a trick to prevent Israel from finishing 36 years of human tragedy at the expense of children and their future, close quote. Beautifully put and correct. And what happened 36 years ago? The birth of Hamas, which he clearly sees as a human tragedy for his fellow Arabs. For sure, Hamas is a spiritual and mental poison. And that was Daniel Aviel, former concert violinist in London. Yeah, Israel is in the fix, it is, fighting in the south and incapable of stopping the Muslims in southern Lebanon from literally destroying Jewish homes and businesses, empty now for a half a year, empty of Jewish life, abandoned, in no small measure thanks to the atheist soulmates of the atheists Rabin, Peres, and Company that gave us the Oslo horrors. When the current defense minister, Yoav Gallant, took up his post in December of 2022, he realized, quote, not one bullet was made here. And one of his first actions was approaching Elbit and demanded that, that's a big company working in munitions, then demanded that they start producing these bullets. And now the same Ehud Barak in Monsters, who disrupted quotidian life after the elections, they didn't want to accept them, they're now behind those demanding submission to Hamas demands, blocking traffic, and accusing the prime minister of making decisions solely on the basis of remaining in office. It is a disgusting slander. I disagree with the prime minister's ideology and tactics, but do not suspect him of such ugliness. He is as distressed as any Israeli Jew over the fate of the living Jews in Muslim slavery and abuse. No good can come from demonizing him. For me, his defects are the products of his upbringing as a secular Zionist and not a believing Jew. His father was right-hand man to Jabotinsky, who had little acquaintance with the life of a religious Jew. Jabotinsky also foresaw a viable state of peaceful relations with the surrounding Arabs. He was less of a socialist dreamer and more realistic, but that was his plan too. He foresaw the prospects of a civilized relationship with them if we handle them right. He was alienated from his own religion like Bibi. He did not see the essence of our neighbors, which is their religion, which is a form of anti-Semitism. One of the quote-unquote benefits of October 7 is that it opened the eyes of those who had eyes that were closed to the reality of these so-called Palestinians. There is an abyss separating civilized Jews and Christians on the one hand from these thugs, whose leaders are nothing but thugs. Think of Gaddafi in Libya and Saddam Hussein in Iraq and Hafez al-Assad and son Bashar in Syria, Ali Abdullah Saleh in Yemen. Think of Yasser Arafat, who seems to have been, when a student at Cairo University in the 1950s, he was in a group of refugees from the Israel's War of Independence, which he was not, who dealt with a rival for leadership of the group by murdering him, one college student to another. So one benefit of October 7 was exposing to the world, capable of seeing, just who these Arab Muslims are. There is something seriously, organically defective in their culture, characterized by a pathological male relationship to the opposite sex, which also predisposes them to sodomy with other males, boys and men. Arafat had a harem of boys. Orphans of Fatah men the Mossad had dispatched to Muslim paradise, whom he adopted and raised to be his boy toys for perverted sex and his future bodyguards. Another so-called benefit has been the exposure to Israelis, if they did not know before, of the disgusting corruption of the United Nations. Last Wednesday, Israeli Ambassador Gilad Erdan addressed the General Assembly, then debating the veto of the Security Council's statehood for the ancient ones that the Biden administration had come up with. He said, this body reeks of anti-Semitism. Bless you, Erdan. I don't believe any of his predecessors spoke this sharply in that institution. He said, you are a dream come true for every Palestinian terrorist that seeks to destroy Israel through diplomatic terror. He was speaking in the ninth debate in that body about Israel since October 7th. And of course, when has that body ever sided with Israel against its savage neighbors? He said, not one of these nine debates was their focus on Hamas, despite the rape and dismemberment of its victims. Gilad Erdan said that while wars are raging in Sudan and Myanmar, and Pakistan is forcibly expelling more than 1 million Afghani refugee women to go back into Afghanistan and live under the Taliban, these misogynists par excellence, as Iran has also oppressed women, he said. He said to the assembly, "You aren't interested in criticizing any rogue state. You are interested in only smearing the Jewish state. In the future, students will study the fall of the UN. They will learn of this organization's moral bankruptcy and blindness. They will be taught that your indifference and hypocrisy is what brought the UN crashing down," close quote. Very nice. Only official Israel has never, ever just talked, even just talked, about leaving the UN, for that would be to admit to the failure of the secular Zionist aspiration to have a place among the nations by creating a religionless state for Jews. Which makes no sense, because for thousands of years, the Jewish nation was uniquely defined not by its country or an army or navy, but its religion. And now that the Security Council resolution to create a Palestinian member of the institution that was vetoed by the U.S., the majority of the members in that operation wanted to enroll Palestine as a new member state, and the council will be back in session on Friday of this week to discuss granting the Palestinians the rights of a member state than actually becoming a member state. Just more verbal nonsense. If the proverbial well-intentioned man from Mars would land his spaceship in New York City's Central Park and be escorted to the UN, he might address its highest body, the Security Council, and ask, "What's the greatest problem facing planet Earth?" He would be told the Jews stole Palestine from the Palestinians, and they won't let them have a state they have been dreaming about for millennia, just like the Jews. On Friday, the Council will debate a draft resolution that wants the UN to define the Palestinians as a de facto state, a territory with all the same rights and qualifications as a state, including the vote, to vote on all matters, that it cannot be blocked by any country's veto, close quote. These people can't think. They want all the rights of a member state without being one. And I wish I had collectively all the monthly salaries just for a month for all 15 of these members sitting at that council, and I could retire until the end of my days. That these 15 adults make a living, and surely a comfortable one, engaged in this nonsense, this anti-Semitic charade of doing something useful, it makes me wish Israel would become truly a light unto the nations by quitting the United Nations organization and using their $10 million annual dues to rebuild all the homes in the Gaza envelope communities. As we all rightly have focused on the massacre and the torture, the death of 1,200 Jews, thousands more wounded, we've overlooked what they did to the communities these Jews lived in. The wanton destruction of homes and workshops, equipment, everything, wrecked, torched. These Muslim brothers are the enemy of the human race. Ambassador Erdogan said in this debate against the recent U.S. veto in the Council, quote, "The U.N. cares nothing for Israeli blood. It is a collaborator with the Nazis of our day, working to ensure Hamas's survival and even reward them for rape and murder. I have no words," close quote. My only fault with his words in his speech was the occasional reference to Palestinian terrorists, when official Israelis should never call them Palestinians. The invention of this fake nationality has been the greatest achievement of Jew haters since World War II, that even patriots like Gilad Erdan think nothing of using, when every time it is used, another verbal bullet is fired into the heart of the born-again Jewish Commonwealth. I'm And that was simply Tzfat doing a famous verse from Rabbi Nachman of Breslev. And you're listening to the program on PhantomNation.com. Last Tuesday, a week ago, in the U.S. Senate, Minority Leader Mitch McConnell addressed the mobs on American university campuses and said these colleges are, quote, still finding ways to embarrass themselves with the vile anti-Semitic radicalism. Beginning, of course, with yet more alarming declarations like burn Tel Aviv to the ground, freedom for Palestine means death to America, October 7 is going to be every day for you. And they have been joined on the picket lines by faculty members for whom radical anti-Semitism is merely an extension of their day job in postmodern education, close quote. Very nice. Even said of the visit to Columbia last week by the Muslim congresswoman, that she-devil, Ilhan Omar, who accused some Jewish students of being pro-genocide. It is unclear whether the student radicals or the shadowy groups organizing these disruptions are actual fifth columns or adversaries trying to corrode American society from within or just unwitting pawns. What is clear is the basic comprehension of history, theology, and geography, and that is in very short supply in the Ivy League. The hateful ideas pouring out of campus encampments are not new to America's universities. The world's oldest form of hatred has been alive and well in higher education for some time now, close quote. He also called the boycott Israel movement vile and, quote, the establishment of outfits like the Rutgers Center for Security, Race, and Rights are forces of bigotry. Anti-Semitism is not a nuanced academic theory. It is not just one of many difficult viewpoints, or controversial, as the White House press secretary seemed to suggest yesterday, he said. It is not just justified by political disagreements with Israel and its government. It is not entitled to take over campuses and make life miserable for Jewish students. If moral clarity does not prevail in the ivory tower and in the Biden administration, this could go down as a particularly shameful moment in our history, close quote. Well, either he wrote those words, or a staffer, which shine a light on the best face of America, the recognition that anti-Semitism is, as he said, not some nuanced academic theory. I say, it's a full-blown mental disorder that should be in the DSM, the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual used by psychiatrists. Probably not there. It always manifests as lies and fantasies of Jews as agents of evil instead of agents of good. And as McConnell rightly notes, in this particular venue of a high-class university, my alma mater, the ignorance of history, theology, and geography is in very short supply in the Ivy League. No kidding. One of the more distressing features of this festival of Jew hate in academe, it's just the ignorance of these people of history and the violence against us here, ignorance of the history of the Zionist movement and its effort to restore this barren land kept barren by Muslims. There were no Palestinians here. Muslims ruled for 12 of the last 14 centuries, and the Zionist project dispossessed no Arab of his rightful home, which was totally unnecessary given the barren wasteland. There was room for Jews. For example, I worked for some months on a couple of different occasions on one of the Gaza kibbutzim, and I know for a fact that the whole area was before Zionism the northern end of the Negev desert. It was a desert. When I was working there, I would sometimes go over to the new town of Sderot. 9 years after ground was broken, it still was mostly a construction site. No ancient Palestinians were evicted from their ancient patrimony, but that is exactly what world anti-Jewry spent money on in UNRWA to teach in their schools. They taught their children that on the other side of the Strip's boundary, those Jewish communities were all the property of their grandparents that the evil Al-Yehud stole from them. Ergo, the logic of destroying not only the lives of the Jews living in them, but wrecking and burning down their homes and factories. The behavior of these anti-Jews on college campuses, these college students, is bad enough. But also, in general, it's bad for the country, their ignorance of history and geography. How many times did we in recent days see journalists asking one of these hysterical mobsters, what river and what sea are they talking about from the river to the sea, which produced puzzled looks and even unembarrassed looks and words and the shrug of a shoulder, I don't know, whose affect was also, I don't care.
הישראלים צריך תמיד להסתכל בהשכל של כל דבר ולקשר עצמו אל החוכמה והשכל שיש בכל דבר כדי שיעיר לו השכל שיש בכל דבר להתקרב להשם יתברך על ידי אותו הדבר הישראלי צריך תמיד להסתכל בהשכל של כל דבר ולקשר עצמו אל החוכמה והשכל שיש בכל דבר כדי שיעיר לו השכל שיש בכל דבר להתקרב להשם יתברך על ידי אותו הדבר השכל אור גדול ומאיר לו בכל דרכיו כמו שכתוב חוכמת אדם תאיר פניו כי איש הישראלי צריך תמיד להסתכל בהשכל של כל דבר ולקשר עצמו אל החוכמה והשכל שיש בכל דבר כדי שיעיר לו השכל שיש בכל דבר להתקרב להשם יתברך oh, על ידי אותו הדבר
was Yosef Karduner doing another verse from Rabbi Nachman of Breslev. Okay, that's it for this weekly freebie podcast. For those who want three a week, each one costing a minuscule $1.25 each, please subscribe at phantom-nation.com. You might also want to check out what others have called the best book ever, a literary masterpiece, The War Against Israel, called Phantom Nation, Inventing the Palestinians as the Obstacle to Peace. Until next week, I'm Shai Bentekoa.